Hello, and welcome to The Impact Code, your go-to podcast for stories of transformation, inspiration, and impact. I'm your host, Brett Hollenbeck, a seeker and storyteller dedicated to bringing you conversations that illuminate the path to personal growth and collective change. Each episode, we dive deep into the lives of innovators, thinkers, and doers who are breaking boundaries and making their difference in the world. Today's episode is brought to you by Tower Community Bank. As a dedicated partner in progress, Tower Community Bank is not just a financial institution. We are a cornerstone in fostering growth and development within our communities. With a commitment to personal service and supporting local initiatives, we help turn dreams into reality for individuals and businesses alike. If you enjoyed today's show, you can show support by heading over to www.towercommunitybank.com and checking us out. Big thanks to Tower Community Bank for their support in making this episode possible and for their ongoing commitment to community and empowerment. So sit back, tune in, and get ready to be inspired by today's conversation with Eric Hinman. Hello, and welcome back to another exciting episode of The Impact Code. I'm really excited about today's guest. I've followed him for some time on Instagram. I have also been a reader of his newsletter by email for quite some time. And this is someone that always has some great perspective to share. And a lot of his perspective comes around things like mindset and resilience and how to carry those things, not just in fitness, not just in business, but also just in life. And so I'm excited to introduce today Eric Hinman. I'm going to tell you a little bit about him. He's a fascinating person. So Eric is an athlete, an entrepreneur, and an influencer. His life story is a testament to resilience, innovation, and the pursuit of wellness. He's based in Denver, and he's known for his remarkable achievements as a five-time Ironman competitor, which I think it speaks volumes of his dedication about his commitment to pushing physical and mental boundaries. His journey includes a dramatic incident 10 days before Ironman Lake Placid, where despite a severe crash, he showcased incredible determination by participating and qualifying for the World Championships in Kona, Hawaii. As an entrepreneur, Eric has co-founded Original Grain, a healthy, fast, casual restaurant, and Exo Taco, a trendy Mexican restaurant in Syracuse, New York. His investment portfolio is equally impressive, featuring a range of wellness and fitness brands such as 10,000, Well, and Swerve Fitness. Eric's approach to business mirrors his athletic endeavors, focused on long-term vision and impact. Eric's philosophy extends beyond the track and boardroom. He's a brand builder who specializes in scaling early stage consumer and wellness brands. His partnerships include a variety of companies, showcasing his versatility and belief in the potential of the wellness space. His angel investments cover a spectrum of innovative brands, including a key eye for future trends in health, wellness, and tech. Eric, I'm so excited to welcome you to the show today.
Thanks for having me, Brett. Nice to meet you.
Yeah, of course. So I think where I want to start, because this is just on my mind, is I found a YouTube video that you put out maybe 6 months ago, and it was a tour of your backyard. Mm-hmm. And it's a beautiful space. And I'm sure you've probably made some improvements to it, some changes since that video. But I just kind of want to describe it briefly to people. Eric's got this great outdoor space that includes a gym. He's got a barrel sauna. He's got an ice tank where he can do his ice baths. He's got an entertaining space for people. He has a really cool setup with sort of brands that he believes in and supports, where people can, you know, grab a drink from a brand that he loves, or a protein shake, or a protein bar, or any type of thing like that. So it's a really cool space. And one of the things that sort of struck me, Eric, in this space was your desire to bring people to your house, to your place, and to give them a cool experience. Can you talk about why that's important to you and how you sort of put this thing together?
Yeah. So I grew up in a really small town, Pulaski, New York, on Lake Ontario. I graduated with like 90 kids. I think the town was 1500 people, and I'm an only child. So for me, entertainment was always based around me creating it for myself. And I hosted people all the time at my parents' house to play basketball on my small basketball court that I had in my parents' backyard. I had a ping pong table in my basement. So friends would be over every single night. And then in college, I threw massive parties. And in my early 20s, I threw massive parties. And again, just loved getting people together. In my late 20s, my life really changed to be based around wellness. And I started to recognize the deep bonds I was forming with people through kind of shared discomfort and overcoming obstacles together. During that time period, it was Ironman. So it was going on long runs and bike rides and swims. And when my girlfriend Sarah and I bought our house in Colorado, we knew that we wanted to turn it into kind of a hosting oasis. So we picked a location that has an amazing view of the Front Range Mountains, about 20 minutes west of Denver. And we conceptualized this idea of Muscle Mountain, which we have signage in our backyard saying Muscle Mountain. And our backyard is a gym. We turfed 1,200 square feet and we built a big rig with multiple squat racks and pull-up bars and a rope for rope climbs and rings for ring muscle-ups. And we have all of the cardio equipment out there and barbells and weights and dumbbells. And you know, we invite people to come over on a regular basis, pretty much every single night, to either hit workouts or to do contrast therapy, which is going from a hot sauna into an ice barrel. And, you know, that typically is just kind of an open invite for people to message me on social media that want to swing by. And from 4 to 7, most nights, there's a bunch of people here hanging out and doing, you know, wellness-based activities. And, you know, I've just met so many wonderful people hosting in that way and, you know, leaving people with this memorable experience of, you know, either hitting a hard workout or sitting in a hot sauna, getting in cold water. And I really feel like some of my best friendships and many of the best conversations I've had with people, they happen in a sauna, or they happen when I'm out on a hike, or they happen when, you know, we're out in the mountains rucking. So, you know, that's really what I've based my life around and the way that Sarah and I enjoy hosting people now.
That's really cool. I love the space, and I'm going to link to that video because I want people to check it out. It's really cool the way that you've been so intentional about building a place that builds community. And Eric, one of the things that I'm curious about is, did anything unexpected come out of that? Were there any kind of unexpected benefits or maybe a friendship that you didn't expect to come out of that, building that space and hosting everyone?
I mean, so many friendships have come out of it. I mean, now I've been doing it long enough to kind of know what is going to come of it. But, you know, so this kind of dates back to when I first started doing contrast therapy, which was in 2017 when I moved to Denver. And I was doing it at this place called Denver Sports Recovery. And it was very much for physical recovery. I had been doing sauna for years during my Ironman years to both prepare for the hot and humid conditions at Kona and also to get the recovery benefits. But, you know, it was like a solo infrared sauna bed. So I wasn't meeting anyone there. So I start going to this place called Denver Sports Recovery, and they have a 6-person infrared sauna. And they had a hot tub and a cold plunge that fit upwards of 6 or 7 people. And, you know, as I was going there, I started meeting more and more people and having amazing conversations and building these friendships. And I started to realize that I was going more for like the clubhouse appeal than I was for the physical recovery aspect. So that's really when the aha moment happened of, this is how I want to host. Because, you know, if you go to a gym or CrossFit workout, your endorphins are racing afterwards, and you certainly can have great conversations with people. But, you know, when you're actually working out, obviously you're not really conversing with others, where the sauna creates this captive environment where, you know, your phone is going to overheat in 2 minutes if you're using it. And it just instantly puts you in a vulnerable state. You know, within 5 minutes, you're sweating profusely at 200 plus degrees. And, you know, the heat is just kind of triggering having this focus, this narrow aperture where you can be completely present with the other people that you're with. So that's why I use that for community, for meetings. I mean, someone messages me to, you know, meet at a coffee shop. I'm like, no, come to the house and sauna. So that's where I'm taking all my meetings now, is in the saunas. And, you know, it's because I feel like that's where I can be most intentional with others and have the best conversations with others.
Mm. I love that. And I resonate with that. It's interesting, even in, so the gym that I go to, there's several branches around Nashville, and I'll always hit a sauna after a workout, 15, 20 minutes. And it's always a random group of people. Sometimes I'll have a friend with me that I do know and we'll be working out together. But a lot of the times it's just a group of people that have probably never talked. Maybe you've seen them around the gym, and there is a really interesting thing that happens where people are really open and you get into these deep conversations. And it is one of the few spaces too, where I feel like, interestingly, people can have different political beliefs or spiritual beliefs, and they don't get as frustrated or intimidated by the conversation. Something about the aura and the space and the intensity of a sauna creates this kind of safety, and you have really interesting conversations. And so I found that to be true as well in my life. And it's fascinating, the kind of people that you meet in the sauna. It's a blast.
100% agree. I mean, in Finland, sauna is used more for just what you said. It's for family discussions, important discussions, political discussions. That's where they do it in Finland, is in the sauna. So, and Finland is constantly ranked as one of the happiest countries in the world. So there's something beyond just, you know, all of these scientific physical studies coming out showing that, you know, it reduces all cause mortality. And, you know, I definitely think that there's this community aspect to it that can't be overlooked as a major form of wellness. And to really answer your question about unique experiences that I've had in the sauna. So oftentimes when baseball teams are traveling through Colorado, baseball players will hit me up, or basketball players will hit me up to come over and hit the sauna here. The Creighton basketball team, when they were here for the NCAA tournament last year, a bunch of the players came over to sauna. And then,
oh, that's so cool.
Actually, just a few nights ago, one of the first investors in Tesla was brought over by one of my friends. And, you know, we were randomly talking about the Cybertruck, and he was saying he's getting a Cybertruck soon. And one of their friends was the first person to get the Cybertruck. And, you know, he went on to state that he was one of the first investors, like before they went public, in Tesla. Wow. And he was on the phone with Elon Musk that day, chatting about like different things with X. So there's fascinating people that pass through here on a regular basis. And yeah, I mean, it generally is attracting people that are really into peak performance, that just want to be the best version of themselves. So, you know, I rarely meet someone who is an energy drainer in the sauna.
Yeah, I would agree with that. That's been my experience as well. And the Cybertruck. So I just have started to see those around Nashville. I've seen maybe three or four here. I don't know if they just got a shipment in this last week. I started seeing them on Sunday, and I've been seeing them everywhere. And that is a machine.
It is.
I mean, that thing looks like a tank driving down the road. It doesn't look human.
They're so cool. I have an order in on one, and the conversation really sparked up because he said to me, he goes, give me the VIN number. I mean, I'll message Elon, and I bet we can probably get you moved up to get it in the next month or so if you want it. I'm like, what?
That's amazing. I love that. So as you're building these relationships and having these conversations, do you feel like, how do you feel like your purpose kind of plays into bringing all these different people together?
Mm-hmm. I mean, my purpose changed radically during those Ironman years, where I started to correlate how I was feeling mentally, emotionally, with the exercise. It really yielded the best version of myself. I felt like, you know, I could just be me, and I didn't need, you know, alcohol to fuel that vulnerability anymore. I just, again, really felt like I could be my authentic self to the world. And it was exercise that was fueling a lot of that. So, you know, movement is medicine. medicine is kind of the moniker that I live by and what I share often on social media. And it's just because it's benefited me so much. I kind of went from living out the public perception of success, chasing money and chasing material things, to being really fulfilled and content with my life and not feeling like I had to continue chasing the public perception of success. And, you know, I think that's important when you can, you know, make that turn in life and you can just be you and you figure out what motivates you and excites you every day and, you know, what your purpose is every single day. And then, you know, and allowing others to see what that is and then take, you know, tidbits of it to apply to their own life.
What do you feel like was the first moment when you started to see that authenticity creep in? Was there a moment when you noticed it and you're like, hey, this is feeling more like me? And then how did you start to pivot out of the money chasing from there?
Yeah, I mean, success? I think it was after some of the long runs and long bike rides where I just felt really on. You know, I had tremendous mental clarity. You know, if you told me I had to speak in front of a group of 100 people, I'd be like, sure, let's do it. Where previous to that, like, I was really nervous about that. You know, the endorphin rush afterwards just gave me tremendous confidence to just be me. And, you know, also getting to where I got within Ironman, like achieving at a high level, that certainly helps build, you know, believing in yourself that you're not just this like imposter out there living someone else's life. It made me feel like, okay, I've kind of carved out my own unique space in this world. Like now I understand the formula to succeed and I can do this in anything. And it gave me a lot of confidence to, you know, just apply that to every other aspect of life. And then I would say, from 2010 to 2014, that's when I changed my life from just wanting to, you know, build more income to, you know, I just wanted to figure out what is my peak performance physically, mentally, emotionally, how can I be the best version of myself? And obviously, you know, I still had businesses that I was running or starting or investing in, like I'm not going to tell someone just to completely like drop that glass ball to go exercise all the time. But I did start to correlate exercise with bringing in opportunities. No longer was I chasing anymore. My first business was property and casualty insurance. When I was in my early 20s, I was wearing a suit and tie every day, driving 50,000 miles a year, going door to door, selling insurance to commercial businesses. And, you know, during those Ironman years, all of a sudden people became interested in me and I wasn't chasing anymore. People were coming to me. They were interested in my lifestyle. They were interested in, you know, what my businesses were. They wanted to do business with me. And it was just from like exuding so much positive energy and, you know, sharing value through social media. It's such a blessing that we all now have this microphone we can use to share value with the world. So yeah, during that time period, I really went from chasing to just like being the best version of me and realizing that by doing that, I was attracting amazing opportunities into my life.
I love that. I was talking with a friend a couple nights ago about she's wanting to sort of start in the influencer world and she's wanting to do it around maybe something with like mindset, but then she also does a lot of baking and she had a lot of maybe just like hesitations, like feeling like maybe who would listen to me or why would anyone want to hear what I have to say? Mm-hmm. What would you say to someone who has a dream to do something like what you're doing, but maybe they have hesitations around feeling like, I don't know if anyone would care about what I had to say.
Mm-hmm. I mean, that's a very normal human thought. I mean, most of us are very concerned with status and we're concerned with failing. And I mean, like anything, it's reps and sets. The more reps and sets you have of anything, the better you're going to get at it. Whether it's, you know, creating businesses, taking risks, investing in things, the more you do it, the more you're going to learn and the more comfortable you're going to get with embracing risk. And, you know, for me, it was really awkward when Instagram stories came out because all of a sudden, sudden it was kind of in the moment, talking to the camera, talking to all of these people. And it took me a while to get comfortable doing that, because prior to that, it was just sharing photos on your feed, which, you know, obviously could be very staged and very polished. Mm-hmm. And you could think through all of your words and then write it out. And, you know, now all of a sudden with the stories, like you're looking at yourself talking into this camera, knowing that it's going out to the world. And, you know, you're trying to kind of do it in one take. So that was awkward for me. And it, like anything, it took reps and sets of doing it. And I mean, my biggest advice for her specifically would be go narrow and deep on something. That is the best way to grow a following and to continue garnering interest, is being known for something, being a thought leader in a certain space, or, you know, having a certain genre of content, whether you're funny or you're inspirational, you know, it's as simple as like, every single time she's wearing the same outfit, cooking on the same stove in the same pan, and she's an expert with healthy mac and cheese. Like, you want to go super, super narrow and deep with your content. That is the best way to garner interest in you. And then, you know, as you start to gain more of an audience, you can, you know, spread it out more and become more lifestyle based. I mean, Alex Hormozi is a pretty good example of this, where, yeah, you know, it's very narrow and deep with, you know, tactics he used to grow businesses. And now he's going into, hey, here's why I'm jacked, and here's my diet, and here's my training. And he's going into other aspects of his lifestyle. But, you know, he was pretty narrow and deep early on of, you know, initially just like, hey, here's all the content about how to grow your gym. And then it was about, you know, how you grow your business. And, you know, now he's spreading it out. But I mean, that's the best way to do it. And yeah, again, like anything, sets and reps, you just gotta like, you gotta do it a bunch to get comfortable with it.
That makes a lot of sense. And I really appreciate that advice. As you're going through this process, so when, and I'll kind of broaden this a little bit, anything in life, if you're facing something and you're looking at it and you're like, wow, this is intimidating for me in some way, you do have like a very strong resilience about you. And through it kind of is a strong narrative in your story. What are the things that you're saying to yourself as you're looking at that thing and thinking about, is this something I'm going to do, because you're hesitating because it's so big?
Yeah. I mean, I've practiced discomfort a lot in life, from, you know, sitting in cold streams to doing Ironmans. You know, I work out CrossFit every single day. So I have all of these kind of little discomfort obstacles built into my daily life that prepare my nervous system for stress and risk. So, you know, that's why I've gotten more comfortable with saying yes to scary things, is from all of the, you know, just incremental practice over time that is compounded. And, you know, I kind of look at anything now as, you know, if it doesn't require some genetic gift like basketball or football, you know, some sports definitely favor genetic gifts of size and height and weight. But if it doesn't require a genetic gift, if it's just time and effort, then like, I know I can probably do it if I just put on blinders and I have tunnel vision for, you know, 10,000 hours to master whatever that is. So that's how I look at everything now, whether it's, you know, an obstacle or whether it's growing a new business, is, you know, I have to focus on it for 10,000 hours and I have to write one chapter at a time to succeed in whatever that is.
Yeah. I think the 10,000 hours is something that is maybe underestimated by a lot of people. It's not that you can't get good at something, but 10,000 hours is a significant investment of time. It's a significant investment of energy. And I think, I know I can speak to my own experience that at times I will look at something and feel like I should be better from the start. Mm-hmm. Than I maybe look at someone like you, Eric, and I'm like, man, I really should be doing better at fitness. Mm-hmm. But I'm not comparing fairly because I haven't had the same focus and energy and amount of time on my fitness journey as you have. Mm-hmm. And so to compare those one for one isn't always fair. It's sometimes needs to be zoomed out a little bit, I think, and looked at with a little more perspective of like, no, Eric's put in probably far more than 10,000 hours at this point, I would say, into fitness specifically.
Yeah.
And so like, of course he's going to be phenomenal at things that feel really difficult to me.
Yeah, I mean, let's talk about this from a monetary standpoint. If you have $10 million in the bank and the compound interest over 10 years is going to be massive compared to if you have, you know, $5,000 in the bank. And it's kind of the same with anyone on their journey. You don't know what the compounding consistencies are and the bank account that they're working with from where you're comparing yourself to them. So yeah, I mean, that's crucial. Like, you know, now I can do 25 unbroken bar muscle ups, but 6 years ago, I couldn't do one, but I do that, you know, twice a week for 7 years. All of a sudden, you're going to be pretty dang good at it. So yeah, anyone that I see at a very high level of whatever they're doing, you know, I don't compare myself to where I am and where they are now. I look at it as like, all right, they probably have a lot of years of compounding consistencies to get to where they are. And like, I can get there too if I want to, but I'm probably going to have to say no to a bunch of things I'm doing now to get to where they are, because it's going to require dedicated focus to get what that is.
What are you focused on right now? So what's kind of that big thing in your life, that the skill or the goal that you're really dialed in on?
Yeah. So from a physical standpoint, which is certainly a big part of my life, the CrossFit Games in my age group is on my radar. I'm 43 and the last couple of years I've gotten really close to getting there. So I'm hoping that this is the year that I get there. I really backed off on a lot of the endurance things that I enjoy, specifically running, over the last 4 or 5 years, in order to get strong enough to be competitive in CrossFit, because it's very much a strength-based sport. You need this rock-solid foundation, and you need a certain amount of strength with all of the complex lifts to be competitive in the sport. And then the obstacle that I always have on my calendar is the Leadville 100 mountain bike race. I have that in August this year. So, you know, I have to backtrack my way into not feeling horrible that entire day of biking for 8.5+ hours. So those are the two big physical challenges that I'm training for. And then as far as the business side of things, one of the two new things that I've started in the last year, one of them is, I've started raising money for brands through AngelList, through SPVs. I have a business partner who's in private equity. And, you know, I've long invested in private companies that, you know, I believe in and I love the founders, and wanted to give access to others to be able to invest, you know, early stage wellness companies specifically. So we started that about 6 months ago, and we've done 4 or 5 deals so far. And then the other is these founders only events that I've been doing, which are basically wellness retreats for founders of brands. And I curate the experience so that, you know, it's hard hikes and hard workouts and hot saunas and cold streams, barbecues, panels of speakers specifically around, you know, how to build early stage wellness companies, and, you know, generally attract about 20 to 30 founders to come to these. And I like those so much because the sum is greater than the parts. The people that are attending, they all can add such significant value for each other. So it's not so much me that is the one adding value. It's really all of the people that are attending that are adding value for each other. And I've always enjoyed just kind of watching friendships blossom and opportunities blossom from these experiences that I've been able to create.
I think it's a really unique combination of the things that you're passionate about to be able to bring people together like that, to bring founders together specifically in early stage wellness startups, and then focus on health and fitness and learning and growth. It's kind of it's a really cool combination of everything that, from my perspective, I can see that you're passionate about. I can see that being a really fulfilling thing for you to do.
Definitely. Yeah. I mean, I kind of look at business now as just an extension of what I enjoy doing. I want everything to really align with who I am and what my personal brand is. And, you know, I mean, I had a time period where I had, you know, business and I had pleasure and I had my 5 work days and I had my 2 weekend days. And now it all blends together. So I'm really cognizant of just all the business interests I'm involved in. They're just extensions of my lifestyle and extensions of my passions and extensions of me. So it feels really authentic, and it doesn't feel like I'm living kind of these two separate lives of business and pleasure.
Yeah. For people who are maybe earlier in their career and they're still trying to figure some things out, they want to get to where you are, but they feel kind of stuck in the 9 to 5 or in that 5 days of work, 2 day weekend. Where would you tell them to start to sort of start that maybe transition towards integrating the things that they're passionate about with sort of work?
Yeah. So two things I did over the years. One of them was I made two lists. I made a list of all of the people, environments, activities, conversations I was having where I felt like I was completely in the moment. I was giving value and getting value, and I just wanted more of that. And then I made a list of all of the energy draining activities, things I was doing, people I was hanging out with, conversations I was having, environments I was in that were just draining my energy. I was wishing I was somewhere else, wishing I was with someone else, wishing I was doing something else. And I made that list. And, you know, over time started eliminating all of those energy draining things and then building my life around all of those fulfilling things where I was just completely in the moment. That was number one. And a lot of those thoughts came during those Ironman years where I had a lot of time alone exercising in nature. And I would just have these kind of revelations of how I wanted to live my life, where I wanted to be, who I wanted to be around. And then, you know, eventually how I would build businesses around that. And then the other one is, you know, the only way to fast track success is conversing with and surrounding yourself with people who've gotten where you want to go. So that's kind of the other hack is, you know, just seeking people that are where you want to be and asking them how they got there. You know, they've already paved the path, so they can tell you what they did to get to where they are. So yeah, just reaching out to people on social media, you know, adding value, obviously, you know, people who are at a high level oftentimes are inundated with message. So, you know, do it in a thoughtful way. But I mean, I love mentoring people. It's just as much of a dopamine hit for me to help someone as it is for them in receiving the help. So, you know, most people are like that. Like they want to help others that are looking to get to where they want to go.
Yeah. And one of the things I found helpful in connecting with people, just to share, I think that maybe further down the path than me, is instead of asking like, hey, will you mentor me? Because that sounds like it comes with a lot of commitment and time. Mm-hmm. You know, I'll just at first, if there's something I can do to add value, obviously I'm going to do that and try to add some value. Hey, I noticed this and I redid it, or hey, I thought this might be valuable to you. I saw this article, thought of you, something, you know, to kind of connect at that level, but then also you don't have to make it formal immediately. So if you're someone who hasn't had a lot of mentors in your life and you're trying to start doing that, you don't have to make it something super formal and say like, hey, will you be my mentor? It can be as simple as like, hey, can I buy you a cup of coffee? Or hey, can we sit in the sauna together? Hey, do you want to work out together? Something that person might be interested in. And then just opening up a conversation from there. And that generally leads to enough of a relationship that then you can contact that person with specific things that, you know, might be interesting to talk through with them.
100%. Yeah. Make it easy for the mentor. So I agree with you. You know, someone messaging me saying, hey, will you mentor me? That sounds like a lot of time.
Yeah.
But yeah, someone messaging me saying, hey, you know, can I join you for a workout next week at your CrossFit gym at 8:30 a.m. when I know you go there? I'm like, sure. I mean, I'm going to be doing that anyways. Can I swing over to your house for your communal sauna sessions? Sure. I'm already going to be doing that. So yeah, make it easy for the person that you're reaching out to and kind of meet them where they're at.
Yeah. Who have been some of the mentors in your lives, if you don't mind sharing, some people who have really inspired you and helped you grow on your path?
For sure. I mean, it changes a lot over time based on what chapter I'm writing and what my interests are. So, you know, in the Ironman years, it was certainly triathlon coaches and professional triathletes that were mentors to me that gave me the knowledge I needed to excel at the sport. You know, in CrossFit now, it's, you know, CrossFit Games athletes and CrossFit coaches or games athletes who have become coaches that I'm seeking as mentors. And then honestly, a lot of my knowledge comes from conversations with others. It doesn't really come from reading books or, you know, listening to podcasts. A lot of it is coming from these 5 p.m. sauna sessions where, you know, I'm just curating it with really interesting people in whatever city I'm in. So much of it comes from that. You know, now a lot of what I'm listening to is people who've built businesses. So I've been tuning into like Sam Parr, who I met in Austin at Squatch. You know, his podcast is incredible if you're looking looking to grow a business, if you're entrepreneurial. You know, certainly Hormozy, I'm listening to his content. I like his kind of no BS approach to marketing and awareness. Gary Vaynerchuk, I've certainly listened to over the years about content and content production and kind of where things are going. And then, you know, just others that are doing similar things to me, like Brian Mazza, Devin LeVake, people that are, you know, in the space that I'm in, but they also are building businesses around, you know, having an audience, and, you know, they're sophisticated in the ways they're influential.
I'm curious, did you, let's say 10 years ago, did you imagine that your life would be the way that it is today? Was this sort of an intentional dream, or was this something that you sort of discovered along the way?
100% discovered along the way. It, you know, I think everything happens for a reason, and things happen that, you know, then became intentional. But yeah, I mean, 10 years ago, I didn't know I was going to be in Colorado talking to you on a podcast, you know, or that I would be on podcasts. I had no idea. You know, I was just an athlete then, just chasing my dreams of getting to the Ironman World Championships. I had no idea that, you know, Instagram would become such a personal brand building tool, and that brands would want to work with creators. And yeah, I mean, all of it has, again, I haven't chased in the last 10 or 15 years. It's really been just coming to me because, you know, I've lived my life in a very unique way, and that resonates with others, that I'm being me. And, you know, I figured out what my perfect day is, and I live that out day in and day out. And, you know, that attracts amazing people and amazing opportunities into your life when you're doing that. And obviously I'm trying to add significant value along the way. But yeah, no, it wasn't intentional at all. You know, I think in, you know, small fragments, it's intentional. You know, maybe sure. A 6-month period, it's intentional. Yeah. But, you know, if I told you that in 10 years from now, you know, I'm going to be in Kauai on my dream house, like, I don't know that that's true. My interests may change, and who I'm around may change. What I want my life to be like may change. I really don't know. I kind of only project out like 6 month or so windows of, you know, where I want to be and what I want to be doing.
And I think that's so important for people to understand that are starting out on their journey to success, is that it's not always, sometimes it is sometimes. And that's why I ask, sometimes people have a very specific vision of a 10 year window, but I find more commonly than not in these conversations that it was something that was discovered in motion. And so this is something that I'm always talking to people about and telling people, is like, just get in motion with something, start doing something, get some feedback, see how it feels. Is that a more authentic version of you? Does that feel more true to who you are? And then keep moving. And then just, you know, little increments, 6 to 12 months, like, this feels more like who I want to be than I was 6 months ago. So I'm going to pursue that goal and see where that takes you. Is it closer to who you want to be? And I think that sometimes is easier than trying to define your whole life's purpose and go from there. I think some people want to start there. Like, I want to define my life's purpose and find the perfect way to do that. But I think more often you can find it in motion if you just start moving towards something.
Yeah, I can't agree more. I mean, my life has changed so much over the years, and, you know, it's because I've changed, my passions have changed, the people I want to be around have changed, the environments I want to be in have changed. And, you know, in 10 years from now, that may be different too. And that's okay. You know, we all change as human beings through time. So yeah, I like that analogy of, it's just kind of in motion, and, you know, I'm being intentional when things are feeling good, and it feels like I've figured out my rhythm that I want to run with for a bit.
Yeah. So for you, I want to talk a little bit more about authenticity, because this has been something that has been on my mind personally. I feel like for a while I was in a place where I was sort of being what everyone else's version of success was. And by everyone else's measure of my life, I was very, very successful. But it didn't feel authentic to me, and it didn't feel like who I was. I was in this place where I was like looking at my life, and I was like, I should be happier. I have everything that everyone tells me that I should be wanting, but I'm just not happy. And so this journey for me, I feel like to finding that, has been difficult, and it's taken more courage to step into those places than I imagined that it would have. Have you found that to be true? And we're kind of rewinding in your journey, you know, to going back 10 to 15 years, maybe, but was that true for you near the beginning that it felt like there was a lot of pressure to be someone from maybe other people in your life? And then it took a lot of courage to start to step into those moments where you're like, I think this is the thing that's authentic to me, or this is true to me.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I think we're all very impressionable at a young age through our teen years, through our 20s. We're very impressionable. And, you know, a lot of our values and norms, they're instilled by our parents in us. And then, you know, we're told to go to college and get a 4-year degree and then get a job. And there's kind of this, you know, marketing system that directs us in our path. And I was that for sure. And, you know, I had a great upbringing. I mean, my parents, you know, gave me some incredible opportunities. And, you know, I honestly wouldn't be where I am now, you know, had I not taken that, you know, first career in property and casualty insurance, where I was able to build a book of business and residual income to then start taking risks and, you know, then get into triathlon and have the time to be able to do that and excel in it. So I'm grateful for all of those opportunities. But yeah, I think there's a certain time when you have to take a step back from your life, from just kind of the daily execution, and look at the big picture. It's kind of like working on your business instead of in your business. Oftentimes we're just so inundated with our day to day that we're not able to really take a step back and just see if we're really living our dream life or not, or if we're just living based on what society and what marketing tells us to do. And, you know, again, for me, that was just like being outside in nature, exercising, where I had the time and space to really reflect and think and realize, you know, that, yeah, I wasn't living my best life. I was living this public perception of success. And just like you, you know, from the outside perspective, like, yeah, the nice cars and suits and making, you know, a good living, but, you know, wasn't really feeling fulfilled, was just continually chasing that hamster wheel. And that's a dangerous trap to get in, especially if you accumulate so much that you have the golden handcuff. You have to stay in, you know, whatever job that is providing you to have all of the things that you've accumulated over time. And yeah, I mean, we're all victims of marketing, and we live in this capitalistic society that tells us, you know, that money is going to get you happiness and to, you know, chase money and to buy the house. When, I don't know, I often think back more now to our ancestors and how they thrived. You know, they were outside all the time. They were walking a lot. They were eating single ingredient foods. They were hunting. They were exposed to these discomforts in life that, you know, I've implemented back into my life, but you don't have to. You can sit in air conditioning and, you know, you can have the warmth of your car. Like, we've created all of these comforts for ourselves that in a way are kind of detracting from us really thriving. So oftentimes that's what I do now, is I just kind of take a step back and I'm like, you know what, man, I am just like so happy when I am outside in the sunlight. And that's okay to just be outside in the sunlight. I don't have to be on my computer, you know, on calls for 2 hours, like trying to close some deals, when like being outside in the sunlight is what we're designed to do. We're designed to be outside. So yeah, just taking a step back and being like, man, am I the victim of marketing and all of these convenient comforts that we as humans have created? Or, you know, should I think more to our primal selves and how we evolved and implement some more of those things back into my life?
That's really fascinating to me. And that's the second time I've heard you mention discomfort. And I think it's very interesting and probably maybe something that people don't expect. Maybe it's unexpected for people that you're intentionally implementing discomfort into your life as a strategy towards, and it sounds like you're connecting that to happiness or fulfillment as well, mm-hmm. that discomfort actually plays a role in your happiness and in your fulfillment. Can you talk about why you believe that that's the case? Because I think for a lot of people, it's easy to get trapped in sitting on the couch watching TV. I think the average American watches 3 hours of TV per day and scrolls Instagram or TikTok for 2 hours per day on top of the 3 hours of TV mindlessly. And that's not creating content. That's just mindless scrolling, mm-hmm. 2 hours per day. So if that's where the average person is, can you talk about why they should implement discomfort in their life?
Yeah. I mean, I like to earn things and I like progress. Progress ultimately is what really makes me feel fulfilled. If I don't feel like I'm earning things, if I don't feel like I'm progressing in things, then I just don't feel alive. And I honestly feel worse, the worst when, you know, let's say like I'm sick and, you know, I can't do the things I enjoy and I'm just kind of laying on the couch all day watching TV. That's when I feel my worst. That's when I have the worst thoughts. That's when I feel kind of depressed and I just don't feel alive. So yeah, so many of these discomforts are built in because I like earning things and I like this, you know, feeling of progress in all aspects of life. And generally progress is going to come from some level of discomfort, whether it's getting a bit stronger, it's getting a bit, you know, better at running, a bit better at biking, building a bigger business. Like there's going to be these, you know, discomforts along the way. And yeah, earning it. I mean, just think about like having a meal when you're full versus having a meal when you hit a hard workout and you're starving. Like it's so fulfilling you have that meal after a hard workout when you're really hungry. So I got to look at all aspects of life as that is like, how can I earn it? I want the best feeling out of this. And then the other side of the discomfort piece is, you know, bad things are going to happen to all of us. Like no one has just this rosy life their entire life. And I've realized that by preparing my nervous system for stress, when a bad stressor comes along, it doesn't knock me off my rocker like it used to. And I'm also not anxious about, you know, bad things happening. My nervous system has just been trained to deal with it. And I think that goes back to just these small things every day. It doesn't have to be doing an Ironman. It could be as simple as, you know, getting a workout in every single day, you know, getting into cold water, taking a cold shower, little things that you do every single day that will train your nervous system to embrace these bad stressors when they come along.
How are you measuring progress and how often? So let's say you talked a lot about progress. Is that a monthly window for you? Is that a yearly window? How are you typically looking at progress and saying like, yeah, I am making progress here?
Yeah. I mean, honestly, it's more feeling based. I just want to feel fulfilled every single day. And I know what to do to feel fulfilled. You know, I know that I'm going to hit my morning workout. I'm probably going to do some kind of 60 minute aerobic training in the afternoon. I'm going to do my contrast therapy every day. I'm going to be on calls every day. I'm going to create a couple pieces of content every single day. I'm going to write 2 newsletters a week. So I kind of already have it built in so that I know after a 1 year period, there's going to be major progress. I'm probably going to be, you know, a little smarter. I'm going to be a little more emotionally resilient. Hopefully I'm going to be a little bit fitter, a little stronger, a little more aerobic, a little more anaerobic. So, you know, it's all just based on kind of daily practices. Again, there's nothing other than, you know, I'd like to get to the CrossFit Games. I want to do well at Leadville this year. There's not any of these overarching themes of like, I want to run a sub 5 minute mile by the end of the year. I don't have major benchmarks like that. You know, it's more just, I know what to do day in and day out that will yield results over time.
Yeah. Do you feel like for someone who's maybe earlier in their journey, having goals like running a sub 5 minute mile or a sub 7 minute mile for someone who's maybe earlier in their fitness journey, do you feel like those are helpful at that stage? Or do you feel like it is more helpful to look at sort of the input and the fulfillment you get from the input? How do you think about that for someone who's maybe starting out?
Yeah, I think they're both important. I mean, you know, I do have events on the calendar that I'm preparing for, and having an event on the calendar is a great way to get you to backtrack your way into success. And, you know, that's also going to teach you, you know, how to do it for every other aspect of your life, whether it's being a better dad, a better husband, a better business owner, a better employee. It's going to teach you the same fundamentals. So I do think events are really important, but I think the journey is the most important aspect of it. you know, now I'm going to continue doing what I do every single day, regardless of whether I get to the CrossFit Games or not. I've figured out what my perfect day is and what things I need to do each day. So I think that is the holy grail of really enjoying the journey, because I think oftentimes, you know, people will chase these lofty goals that maybe they're not living their best life to do it, or they get addicted to, you know, the ego side of it. They get addicted to the results as opposed to just like really loving the journey. And I love my journey, and I think that's super important.
And I also think that's just I think there's a maturity in that, that it just takes some life experience to realize that the external goals are not nearly as important or fulfilling as how you show up to progress in those goals. Like at this point, go ahead.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, because the goal is one day of your life, you know, that the Ironman World Championships. Yeah, of course, it's a memory. But, you know, that happened twice in my life where, you know, my perfect days are, you know, 348 days out of the year. They're most days. So I would rather have more of those that I look forward to than that one monumental event. So, yeah, the journey is so important because it's going to be the bulk of your life.
Yeah. And I think that applies to so many things, even things like parenting. Like I have two kids, and I think about sometimes like, oh, I really wish I could take them here in this place, you know, this year. And maybe that's not in the cards this year, but then I forget that that's just one memory, but I come home to them, you know, at the end of the workday every day. And it's how I show up then every single day. Am I showing up as the person that they need me to be? Am I showing up as their role model every single day? That's far more important than a vacation or than a trip. And it's going to have way bigger impact on their life. And that's true of everything in our life. Is really, it's not these big events that end up defining our lives. Like they may be a mountaintop experience that we'll never forget, but the defining of our lives is in how we spend our mundane, quote unquote, days. And they don't have to be mundane, but I'm talking about in comparison to those peaks.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I can't agree more. And, you know, like I very much look forward to the day, which is when I truly believe we're supposed to thrive and look forward to. My 6 a.m. until 7 p.m. is what I look forward to. And again, going back to marketing, I feel like a lot of the messaging is like, now it's the nightlife. Like that's when you have your fun, is in the evenings. And that screws up your circadian rhythm. You know, that's going to screw up your ability to sleep well and have enough energy to be able to get that next morning workout in and have mental clarity and show up as the best dad to your kids. So, I think it's reprogramming your days so that your 6 a.m. to 7 p.m. is epic.
Yeah, I love that. I love the word epic there too. Do you think about, in regards to your own life, so it sounds like you're very intentional about sort of how you set up and how you structure everything about your days. When did you first start feeling like your days were epic?
I would say it was during the Ironman years from 2011 to 2014, 15, because I was co-running a software company, which was a passion project. I had opened a gym during that time period, which was a passion project. And, you know, I was training 2 to 3 times a day. So a lot of my day was based around exercise, and that exercise was then fueling mental clarity for meetings and creative tasks and conversations with my business partners and employees. So that's really when like the time blocking aspect of my life started to occur. And, you know, even just as important as the time blocking is the order of the time blocking. I started to realize what things I wanted to prioritize and why, and, you know, when I wanted to do certain things after certain things, because that's when I would do them best. So my hardest workout of the day I'm doing in the morning, because my motivation generally, you know, goes down throughout the day. I like the end of my day to just kind of be winding down and learning something. And, you know, I have all of my calls, podcasts, cognitive efforts generally right after workouts. I know that's when I'm going to be the sharpest and I'm going to have the best energy. So, you know, I time block my day based around that mental clarity, that energy, that cognition. And I prioritize the things that I know are just going to kind of build on all of them throughout the day.
I think for everyone listening, I think Eric has a lot of wisdom to share in this area. One, because I think, Eric, you have so many things that you're so successful in. I mean, the range of your success is really, really broad. And so I think one that gives me personally a lot of hope and excitement for the future to see like how broadly you've been able to achieve. I really admire you and respect you for that. But then I'd also say the thing that has struck me in this conversation the most, Eric, is just how much you're in tune with not what society is telling you should want, but like what you actually want and what's really important to you. And you've pursued that with a lot of courage in your journey. And I think it's going to inspire a lot of people. So thank you for sharing so much about your journey and about your mindset through that journey today.
Happy to. Yeah. I love, sharing what's worked for me and allowing others to take tidbits of it and apply it to their life so that others can find their perfect day. I mean, it's kind of the holy grail is being happy day in and day out and then having enough money that, you know, you can provide shelter and the things for those you love.
Yeah. So I'm going to hit you with one final question, Eric, and then we can sort of wrap. But if someone is just starting out in their journey, and they're not really sure where to start. Let's say they want to get to where they're having a perfect day, but they're just starting out and it feels overwhelming. What would you tell them to take as that first step?
Yeah, I mean, start writing out those two lists of, you know, that'll allow you to figure out what you want your day to be, who you want to be around, what you want to be doing, where you feel like you can add value, where you feel you get value, what environments you thrive in, what activities you're completely present in. You know, write that list of all of the times where you're completely present, and then the list of all of the times when your mind is wandering and you are wishing you were doing something else.
Yeah. Absolutely. I couldn't agree more. I think that's a strategy that I'm going to be implementing in my own life. So I appreciate you sharing that. Eric, good luck in the CrossFit Games. The qualifiers are those currently happening?
It is. Yeah. The CrossFit Open just ended. So I'm advancing to quarterfinals. Quarterfinals are in mid-April. And then the top 200 in each age group will go on to semifinals, which is in May. And then the top 40 in each age group go on to the games, which is in August. So it'll really be the quarterfinals and semifinals coming up that kind of dictates the rest of my season.
Man, that's a lot of big events coming up. You've got a lot of big physical events coming up on the horizon. So rooting for you and wish you the best on those. Where can people find you? If people want to follow you, they want to learn more about your journey and what you're doing, where's the best place?
Yeah, Instagram is best. Just my name on Instagram, Eric Hinman. Website is erichinman.com. But anyone that DMs me on Instagram, I message back.
Awesome. I think that's great. And we'll be sure to put all that in the show notes. Anything else that you want to share while we're together today, Eric?
No, thanks everybody for tuning in and really appreciate you having me, Brett.
Of course. Eric, thank you so much for the time and for everything you shared today on the show. I look forward to talking to you again soon.
Thank you.
All right, man. Eric Hinman, everyone. Thank you so much for joining me today on this journey with Eric on the Impact Code. I hope his story has inspired you to embrace discomfort as a pathway to growth and authenticity in your own life. A special thanks to Tower Community Bank for supporting this episode and for bringing all of these transformative stories to you. If you enjoyed today's episode, you can support us by checking out Tower Community Bank at www.towercommunitybank.com. If Eric's insights resonated with you, I'd love for you to share this episode with friends, family, or anyone else you might think might find it valuable. You can also let me know one thing that you learned today or one action that you're inspired today. Share on social media, tag me, tag the podcast page, and you might just inspire someone else in your own circle. Don't forget to subscribe to The Impact Code wherever you listen to podcasts to stay updated with my latest episodes. Every share, every interaction helps the podcast grow, and it helps me continue to bring impactful conversations just like this one to you. Thanks for being a part of my community. And remember, every small change can make a big impact. Until next time, keep pushing your boundaries and exploring your potential. I'll see you right back here next time for the next episode of The Impact Code. Bye.